Morning, church.
Good morning.
It's always good to be among God's people. We are called one body of Christ, and it's always encouraging to be among you and learning together, praising the name of the Lord together, and edifying together. It's a blessing, and the Lord has called us for that purpose. So this morning, we will be reflecting on misplaced trust, choosing the gifts over the giver. So misplaced trust, choosing the gift over the giver. And in another word, like overall, like trusting the creator of the things, or the things of the Creator. And that we are going to see, especially from the Old Testament, learning from different characters. So this topic will be like based on the character and the topical message, learning from different figures or character from the Old Testament. So before we learn or move forward, let us pray again and ask the Lord to speak to us. It's not easy to speak among academic community, although I'm also in academic journey, but my heart beats very fast. So yet we all pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. It's not I'm speaking, but it is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to each one of us, so that we may learn His word, rooted and grounded in the scripture, centered on Jesus Christ, and for the glory of God. So let us pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and reveal God's will in our lives. Our dear, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful new day and the new life that you have given us. And we thank you very much, Lord, that we could come together under your feet, and we desire to hear from you. So dear our Heavenly Lord, would you please speak to each one of us, Lord, encourage us, and help us, O Lord, to grow in our faith in you, and love for you, and love for each other, so that we may delight and would be blessed by you, Lord. We submit ourselves and this time unto thy holy hands. Let your Spirit, O Lord, control each one of us to have a full concentration on your holy word. We give all glory and honor to thy holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, for example, we are driving to Detroit, and on the way, like our car got accident, or we got punctured, or something, or it stopped. Whom do you call? Definitely, I call our parents. That is the initial thinking it comes to our mind. Well, let me call my dad or mom. And we have experienced this so many times. Or in regard to choosing university or college, after like high school or undergrad, whom do you approach for decision? And most of us, we run to our parents asking, Dad, what college should I choose? Or, can you help me? Or go to our mother and ask them, what university should I choose? So most of the time, even for like, if I want to have a laptop, Dad, I'm entering into graduate study, I need a laptop. So what shall I do? Or can you help me out? So we approach our parents in most of the time, or in the most of the decision of our life. But there are certain decisions that we don't even approach or ask them. We want to do by our own. What we desire, we want to do it and fulfill it. So these all are parts of life. These all are parts of life and the universal truth. So we cannot escape from all these life activities. Life decisions. So here we, today, the misplaced trust, the choosing the gift of the giver, will help us to understand there are situations on whom should we trust or what should we choose. So when we read 1 Samuel chapter 4, we find there the people of God, Israelites, are engaging in a battle with Philistines. And we find how they react in that moment. So the big idea is, when we trust God's gift more than God himself, we lose his power, presence and direction. How it happens? Trusting symbols instead of God. Israelite trusted the ark instead of God. Symbol cannot replace God's presence and relationship over religions. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, we find out, now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistine. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistine at Aphek. The Philistine deployed their forces to meet Israel. As the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistine, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to the camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before Philistines?" The Israelites are chosen people of God, the royal priesthood, holy nations, separated for the kingdom of God, to be the light to other nations. We find in this chapter that Eli is there. His sons are priests in Shiloh. They are serving the Lord. But their lifestyles were so corrupted by the wickedness of this world, because they involved in so much of wickedness, being priest. Samuel also is there, who is judge and prophet. Yet, the Israelites were neither respecting God nor taking advice from Samuel, Eli, although they are elderly people, well experienced, anointed by God. Yet the Israelites were not willing to take advice from them. What the elders here, they are doing, they are asking right questions. Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today? It is right question. Why? The reason is, they are asking this question, is that they were defeated by the Philistines. And it is a right question to us. Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today? But they did not ask why we are defeated by the Philistines. Instead of asking God, why, Lord, you have defeated, checking their lifestyle, why they are defeated. That is the difference here. Although the right questions, but they took wrong decision. What they did? Let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that the ark may go with us and give us from the victory from the hands of our enemies. Instead of inquiring the Lord, "Lord, what shall we do now?" they themselves are deciding to bring the ark of covenant. That ark will go and bring victory for them. They are God's people. They have seen the hands of God throughout their generations. They have seen the miracles of God. They have tested the goodness of God in their life. They have anointed and appointed prophet and judge over them, like Samuel is there, Eli is there, the white-haired old man, well-experienced person is there. The elders of the Israelites and the soldiers supposed to either go to them and ask, what shall we do, O God's people? Can you help us? Can you request the Lord to show us His will, instead of asking or taking advice from these anointed God's people? They themselves are deciding and trusting on the ark that ark will go and fight for them. Why this is happening? Because they were actually keeping idols in their house. The idols of this world were blinded their eyes and their minds to think about it. Where can we find this? When we read the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, we find that these people were keeping idols. So here we read that, after your own, so the men of the Kiriath Jearim came and took of the ark of the Lord. They brought it, Abinadab's house on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashereth, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistine. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashereth and served the Lord only. So what they were doing, the Israelites, in chapter 4 is that they were having Baals. They were having idols in secret of their life, and they want to fight against the Philistines. The wickedness of their life was there in secret, and they were trying to fight with Philistines, and then they're asking questions to God. It happens in human lives. Yes, we are God's children. Sometimes we put ourselves into a place where things of this world become idols. What is the idols in today's generations? Most of the youngsters know very well, social media, mobile, on our we keep like a pillow, day and night. Early in the morning, most of us, we also experience in this generation that instead of just waking and praying to the Lord, we look at mobiles. Mobile is capturing the minds and hearts and consuming, are making tired in these days. There are different things. So what is the idol today? They themselves decided instead of asking the Lord. They themselves brought the Ark of the Covenant instead of inquiring from the Samuel, because we cannot bring Ark of the Covenant without God's permission. To remove the Ark of the Lord from the Shiloh, we need God's permission and the advice from His people, either priest or the prophets and judge. Then only we can bring. That is irrespect or not respectful for the Lord. So they brought so that they may go with us and they can get victory. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. Because Hophni and Phinehas were indulged in sexual immoralities, they also could not give the godly advice. Their minds were corrupted by the sexuality and all lust of the flesh and pride of life. Being priest, they're supposed to advise that you cannot take Ark of the Lord from the Shiloh until God permits you. And because their eyes were blinded, because they were fulfilling the desires of their flesh, they allowed it. And it all happens when we think that we are God's people and God can fight for us in whatever capacity, instead of checking ourselves and our status and our relationship with the Lord. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israelites raised such a great sound that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistine asked, what all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? When they learned that the ark of the Lord has come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. A God has come into the camp. Philistines, they are understanding a God, but the Israelites, they are taking ark. The heathens, they are realizing that God has come to the camp. They said, oh no, nothing like this has happened before. We are doomed. Who will deliver us from the hands of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of blood in the wilderness. They are remembering the mighty works of the Lord, how Lord led them from Egypt. But the Israelites forgot. The Philistines are remembering how God led the Israelites, but the Israelites who were delivered, or whose forefathers were delivered, forgotten the Lord. The Israelites are supposed to say that, Lord, you have delivered us and we acknowledge you and you can do now for us. Instead of submitting their life, instead of putting all these questions before the Lord and humbling themselves and asking the Lord to go before them, they are taking ark. Be strong, Philistine, be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight. So the Philistines fought and the Israelites were defeated and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israelites lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The ark of God was captured and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Philistines, they died. So Israelite was losing battle. Instead of seeking God, repenting or listening to his voice, they said, let us bring the ark so that it may save us. They trusted the symbol instead of the God of the symbol. And that happens even in our lives sometimes. While I was working in a Bible seminary, I was working with an organization and that belongs to the Pentecostal church in India. Not all Pentecostals are like that. So what happened? My mother-in-law visited us there and the Sunday was Lord's Supper. And the Pentecostal church in India, and even in Africa and some parts of Asia, they have their policies that everyone should wear white dress on Sunday. All of them should wear white dress to look like holy angels. And then those charismatic, what they say is that you should not wear any jewelry. No ring, no chain, nothing. That is not good for God's people. That is their belief. And my mother-in-law is from Baptist church. She attended the church along with us. And that day the Lord's Supper was there. And the Lord's Supper was distributed. And my mother-in-law also got the cup, but she was having a ring on her ear. Do you know, while she was holding the Lord's Supper, a lady came and snatched it out, because telling that you are unholy, you cannot take it because you are wearing jewelry. Believing on symbols. So there are denominational teachings and practices also suppress the God standard of holiness, because they make such the symbols as holy, thinking that it will pollute us. And my mother-in-law was so sad. That is the policy or belief system of these charismatics. So please don't bother yourself much. Let us leave whatever happened is happened. So there are denominational teaching, traditional teachings, even in Christian churches, that people consider, oh my, this is far better than the Creator. So we have, this is one of the examples. There are many examples we find even in churches in different parts of the country. And the spiritual insight that we find from here is the ark was sacred, but it was never meant to replace the Holy One. Religious objects, traditions, or rituals can become idols when we trust them more than God. Do we trust the form of religion but lack the fire of relationship? When symbol replaces surrenders, we lose spiritual power. And there are churches, they worship symbols. rather than praising and worshiping God, the one who has created all these things. And the second we find is in Genesis chapter 13, trusting creation instead of creator. About Abraham and Lot we find here. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had departed from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go and walk through the land and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre and at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, that he built an altar to the Lord. Here we find the eyes of the Lord is lusted in the beautiful creation of the Lord, beautiful nature of the Lord. He saw that the land of the Jordan is well watered. He thought to himself that if I pitch my tent here with my soldiers, I will be more wealthy, because the ground will be fruitful, I will cultivate well, my herdsmen will be very good, my flock will drink water, and they will eat grass. I will be wealthy more than Abraham. The eyes of the Lord was lusted in the beautiful creation of the Creator. He trusted the beautiful nature of this world instead of beautiful maker of the nature. That happened to Lot. He did not see that Sodom and Gomorrah, how the people were so wicked, but he saw the nature. But he wants to compromise himself with the simple people, just to be wealthy, just to live a good life. Abraham gave Lord the first choice. Lord lifted his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley like the garden of the Lord. Lord chose what looked good, not what God said was good. And finally, he put himself in trouble. And Abraham had to pray for his life to be delivered. Creation is beautiful, but it is not God. Lord chose best on sight, not faith. He trusted the land's potential more than the Lord's promise. What looks good is not always beneficial. We need to be directed by God. As God's people, God wants us that we should be directed by Him. We should be led by Him. Most of the time, we even put ourselves in this situation. We compromise with the things of this world, which looks very, very beneficial and beautiful. And then finally, we realize that we are into a trouble. So as God's people, God desires that we should be guided by Him. Either in the midst of beautiful creations or in the good place, but we should be guided and directed by Him. Are we choosing by sight instead of by faith in the Lord? Are we trusting the green valley more than the God who owns the valley? Lot's choice led him near Sodom. Good-looking decision can lead to spiritually dangerous places. Sometimes it happens, even in our job profiles. There are people in the company or other places, because companies are there for business profits. And sometimes really being godly people in the midst of business policies, it's very hard. The way they measure the rates, like today the gas rate is growing. So business motive. So when godly people are there, business people, sometimes it's very hard to like stay away. Sometimes we compromise to decide along with them, although sometimes they do some kind of corruptions or in doing business. So Lot's choice led him near Sodom. So sometimes good-looking decision can lead to spiritually dangerous places. So in such situation, what is our choice? Where to run? Whom to trust? And the third is trusting appearance instead of God. We find this in 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." Most of the time, even if this kind of thing happens to us, we trust appearance. We choose beauty instead of choosing the Lord who created beauties. Instead of asking the Lord for the choice of the beauty. And it is universal truth that people want beauty. Long for the things that are looking so much charming. And most of the time in India we see it. People run after beauty and the things that looks beautiful and charming and lusting the eyes. That is good. It's not bad. But how are you guided, or in what way are you guided to choose that or make decision? But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance of his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at heart. I'm not telling that outward appearance are bad. We should beautify. We should adorn ourselves. Because that is the way God has created everyone. But how we choose or decide and do it matters. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord anointed his before him." But God corrected him. "Man look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Humans are drawn to charisma. God is drawn to character. We trust what looks impressive: talent, beauty, status, confidence.
But God chose what is often overlooked. Are we trusted what looks strong, powerful, wealthy, rich, talented, or the one who is strong in there, everyone? God's choice is always better than human appearance. We are His people. He has best choice for you and me. But how we trust on Him is the matter. And the final one is trusting numbers instead of God. When we read 2 Samuel chapter 24, we find how the king David numbered his army. So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and enroll the fighting men so that I may know how many are there." But Joab replied to the king. Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord the king want to do such a things?" God always puts someone or many people surrounding us so that when we do some kind of choice, He may instruct us or advise us or suggest us. Sometimes God really puts beside us so that we may seek advice. Sometimes even when we try to take wrong decision, God puts actually many people or some people or one individual around us so that they would counsel us or advise us. Likewise, God led Joab to tell to the king, "Why, my king, you are doing such things?" The king's word, however, overruled Joab and the army commanders. Because he's a king. He thought, "Oh, I have power and I know very well how God led me, I know." The king David was very thinking that he knows everything and he can do this. He has right to do that. Neglecting the advice of Joab and the army commander. So they left the presence of the king to enroll the fighting men of Israel. Just think, I believe the Joab and the army commanders, they know better than the king how to place the armies, how to count the armies, whom to choose, who are the well-trained armies than the king. King is the one who orders. We know he's a fighter, but in every fighting, in every war, the Joab and army commanders engage. So they know individually all the armies. And they are advising the king, but he's not taking this advice from them. After crossing the Jordan, they came near Aroer and south of the town in the Gorgate, and then went through Gath on the Jezer. They went to Gilead and the region of Tatim, Hotsi, and on the Danjan and around towards the Sidon. Then they went toward the fortress of Tyre and all the towns of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally, they went on Beersheba in the Negev of Judah. They are counting all the armies throughout this land. After they had gone through the entire land, they came back to Jerusalem at the end of the 9 months and 20 days. Joab reported the numbers of fighting men to the king. In Israel, there were 800,000 and able-bodied men who could handle a sword, and in Judah 500,000. David was consigned, stricken after he had counted the fighting men. And he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done." After counting, he's realizing that he has done sin against the Lord. We cannot manipulate our Creator by counting the numbers. "Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." He realized that my God is above any mighty man, any numbers. He can do anything at any time. He realized David trusted numbers, not in God. David trusted open human strength, not the one who has created the human beings. God is not impressed by numbers. Sometimes we thought, if I save this much money in my bank, I'm okay till my retirement or till the end of my breath. We do not know how long we live or what is the next. Our breaths are like a grass. We cannot guarantee to enjoy whatever saving we have. I'm not telling that it is not good to save. It is always good. But whom do we trust? On wealth? On the saving bank? Or trusting the Lord always in our day-to-day life? Trust God over money, resume, or network. God is sufficient. His presence is enough. God values faith, not size. And just I want to say the example of George Mueller. George Mueller ran an orphanage in England in the 80s. He never asked anyone for money. He prayed and trusted God alone. One morning, the children sat at the table with no food. Children were ready for school, for going to school, and they want to have a breakfast and then depart from the hostel to the school. They sat on the table. They are waiting for breakfast. And Mueller prayed, Lord, we thank you for what you are going to give us to eat. Moment later, there was a knock at the door. Mueller knows very well that there is no food for my children. He was praying and asking the Lord, thanking the Lord. And moment later, there was a knock at the door. It was the baker. He said, God woke me up last night and told me to bake bread for your children. Right after that, another knock is there. It was the milkman. His cart has broken down right in front of the orphanage. He said, the milk will be spoiled. Can the children use it? God provided bread and milk. Not through wealth, not through numbers, not through human strength, but through his power and perfect timing. Mueller did not trust money, he trusted the giver. He did not trust resources, he trusted the source. And God showed up in a way no human could have planned. Israel trusted the ark. Lot trusted the land. Samuel trusted appearance. David trusted numbers. God redirects us back to himself despite misplaced trust. All of them trusted in a different things, but God did not leave them. God did not condemn them. He did not reject them, but he redirected them. That is what our living God is. In other religions, when people do wicked things, they incarnate to destroy them. But our living God, the creator of this universe, he incarnated to save you and me, redirect you and me through reconciliation on the cross. His people, Samuel, David, Israelites, Lord, misplaced their trust on the things of this world, but God redirected them. They put themselves in trouble, but God delivered them. Why? Because we are his image bearer, his adopted children, and saved ones for his eternal kingdom. He knows how weak we are. He knows our limitations. He wants us to trust him and experience his mighty hands moving over our lives. The gifts are good, but the giver is greater. Let us trust God above everything. And we will see his directions and his guidance in our day-to-day life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions, With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, who transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless each one of us through this short sharing. Let His Spirit guide us to trust Him above every beautiful creation of this world. Thank you. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless each one of us.